Welcome to SaaS Business Secrets with Stacia, where we bring you the latest in starting your six-figure SaaS business and beyond. Visit SaaSBusinessSecrets.com to find out more. Now here's your host, Stacia.
Welcome everyone. Hey, my name is Stacia and welcome to the show. I'm so excited to actually sit down with Rob and Alex, who is the co-founder of High Level and also a former agency owner with a wealth of knowledge and expertise. And if you're new to the digital marketing agency or you're a seasoned veteran, then this is going to be for you. And I'm so excited. Again, welcome Rob and Alex.
Thank you for having me. That's a great intro.
really excited to learn more about you. I didn't actually know that there are several co-founders, but if you could tell me a little bit more about you and your background with running your own agency.
So here at High Level, we have three co-founders, Sean Clark, Varun, and me. The story from my side is that I've been an entrepreneur for many years, ran multiple businesses, as well as helped other businesses grow. Probably about 10 years ago, I was doing IT consulting, helping businesses grow. And at that time, they were spending exorbitant amounts of money replacing servers, $100,000 to replace a server in a closet. And that was mainstay for a lot of small businesses. And at that same time, they were getting out quotes to replace their website and update their online business. And they were also getting quotes for $25,000, $50,000, $100,000. At that point, they were coming to me saying, hey, can you review this? What do you think? And I remember taking those projects and was like, oh, trying a lot of money. I could do it for slightly less and win those projects, right? Immediately started picking up projects and it turned into a feast and famine mode, right? You pick up a project, you're working incredibly hard, you're super invested, trying to get it to the finish line. And of course you get scope creep, but you're scared to ask and definitely dealing with all the same challenges. And then as soon as you're finally done, you're like, okay, we did it. It's launched, ready to go. Now what? Right? It's a piece of payment. Now you're trying to get your next project. And then I figured out how to get more projects. And then what I learned immediately was it is a really tough game. And so we made the point at that time. So it was still me and had a couple of contractors that helped. And then we pivoted to being more on the lead gen side. Because what I learned was if I can help be on the revenue generation or as close as I can to the revenue line, the longer that the customer will stay with me. And built up a lot of great relationships and built the agency up, 20 people around the world, a couple hundred customers, and ran into a pivotal point that every agency deals with. It's, do I try to continue getting more customers knowing that there's only so much you can do for a customer because they're not going to do it themselves. And as much as you tell them, they're going to say it's your fault, right? Yeah. Or it's, I'm going to spend time and really try to figure out what's going on so that I can reduce churn. And at that point, it was, all right, let's build automation. So as we're driving leads through SEO, Google Ads, Facebook Ads, and all this sort of stuff, we'll bring it into them and we'll coach them. And the problem with that is they only have limited time working with you. And they're like, all right, we'll reconvene next month to see how we do with some micro changes. And what's tough about it is at the same time, you're trying to make sure that you're delivering the same amount of value. And it's extremely hard. Because you're trying to show value, but then also give an extended amount of value and trying to coach the front desk person or the owner of like, all right, so when this lead comes in, now I need to email them, text message them, call them, and then do it over and over and over, right? And as much as you try to push, there's always pushback because they're always going to be the best at what they're doing. They're not going to be the best at sales and marketing. And there's this weird perceptional side that if I'm, as a business owner, maybe I'm a dentist or a flower shop or whatever, the second that I take money out of my bank account to paying someone to doing marketing, all I care about is the end outcome that I am paying X amount of dollars for marketing. Therefore, I need X amount of dollars in ROI. I don't care how the sausage is made. That is not my problem. That is why I paid someone, in many ways, outsource someone to make the sausage so that I get new customers, right? But in reality, that's not the case. I can drive a ton of traffic to your business, ton of interest, but you have to do a little bit of work because I don't know how to be a dentist. I don't know how to run a flower shop, but I know how to gain interested. So that was always the gap that we found. So we were constantly working with customers on the consulting side and people loved us from that perspective, but it was a tough game. We started building automations using Zapier and APIs and things of that nature, but now we're a development company doing consulting. So it's just a lot going on. And I remember being in the conference room with my team. It's like, man, if we could just build out this cool automation platform from A to Z, that'd be great in itself. I remember putting it on the whiteboard and it's like, all right, this is awesome, but we don't have time to deal with it. We got customers to do it. So we just left on the whiteboard. And then a couple of weeks later, just by chance, I had one of my customers reach out to me saying, hey, there's these two guys. They're trying to launch a new reputation software. I'm not 100% sure what's going on or if They're asking me all these questions. It's not my domain. I'm the best at being the business owner. I don't know what they're asking me, but they said they want to give me a demo and try it out. So I called them and got them access and helped them out. And then I was like, well, can you guys give me a demo and show me what exactly you guys are doing? I was like, wow, this is great. Have you guys thought about these other things? Because it's missing these core fundamentals that you need for marketing. And I'm a marketing agency, so I think I know a little bit. And they're like, oh, that's interesting. Good stuff. And then I was like, hey, really quick, let me take a picture of something. So I went to my conference room, took some pictures of my phone, and showed it on the screen. It's like, how far are you guys from this? Or what would it take to build something like this out? And really, I was just trying to gain like, hey, what you're trying to build would take 6 months, a year or whatever. And they had an interesting response. It was Sean and Varun. And they were like, well, give us a couple of days, we'll call you back. And at first I was just like, oh, that's kind of an odd thing because you never know who's on the other side, right? They could be the biggest of the biggest company, organization. They're just a project manager who's going to run up the chain and get shut down. You don't know. And so I just kind of took it as like, that's a weird response, but whatever. Back to my normal day-to-day activities. A couple of days later, I remember getting a phone call and I was driving to the office. It was like 8 a.m. And it's like, hey, this is Sean. Can you get on a computer? We want to show you something. I was like, okay, but who is this again? What do you do? Like, you know, I just didn't put one and one together. And then finally Sean explained. It's like, okay, well, I'm heading to the office. Give me about 15, 20 minutes to get situated and I'll call you back. And of course, normal mode, get into the office, talking to people. And I just completely forgot about it. 2 hours later, I get a call again from Sean. Hey, dude, you didn't call me back. We're waiting for you. Like, let's go. So I get on a call with them and lo and behold, they had built out a simple version of what High Level is today, you know, kind of blocks and pieces from my screenshots, as well as some other ideas. And we built it out. And I was like, well, this is awesome. Can we try it out on a couple of customers that I have? And let's try it out also on the co-customer. Try it on the co-customer. Immediate success. Tried it on a couple more customers and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and we needed fixes and updates and things like that. And they just provided so much value and they solved that big plug that I was talking about. And then I remember just asking them like, hey, can I just reach out to a couple of other agency owners? I think they can provide more value and help along the way. So I, you know, reached out to 20 agency owners and every agency owner, it's like, yeah, of course we're going to help. But every agency owner is busy. And so when you ask them for their actual time, they ghost you. And I remember 13 of them actually came back and was like, yes, Robin, we know you, you're legit. So let's work together and figure this out. Showed it to all 13. They all loved it and they all paid immediately for it because it provided them value. And one of them happened to be an agency owner who sold his agency and was now becoming a business coach. And he basically said, this is incredible. If I had this when I was running my agency, it would have saved me so much money and churn and all this. I'm hosting an event in San Diego. I'd love for you and the team to come out. And so Varun, who's in Qatar, couldn't make it. And so we're like, okay, we'll get you on Zoom. Sean and I flew out there and it was the first time we met. And literally on the plane, I'm creating new landing pages, trying to connect it all up. We get to the event and we just thought we just had a 30-minute slot. And so we get up there. We didn't have anything prepped. We just did a demo of the software. Varun in Qatar is just on Zoom on the screen, just smiling. We finished and it was just quiet. There's probably about 20 people in the room and another 20 virtually. And it's just quiet. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that's it. Thanks, guys. Time for lunch. Just tiptoeing back. People are like, wait, we got a couple of questions. Can we purchase annually? Will you give us a discount? Like, sure. And I'm slowly slipping away back to the computer, trying to add more products to the website. Somebody else is like, hey, what about a mobile app? Do you guys have a white label one? And we just all look at each other like, yeah, how much would you pay? And someone's like $500 a month. So we added that to the website immediately, right? And we just started taking it on. And what a lot of people don't realize is we just had some basic automations that when someone purchases, it goes to a spreadsheet. And Varun is just looking at the camera, smiling as if he's just listening to the meeting, but he's typing away, sending out the first accounts to people. That's honestly how we started. And then from there, beginning of 2018, we just hit our 5-year anniversary. And so from that point on, we just hit a little over 50,000 customers, representing about 600,000 small businesses around the world. And, you know, we have a team of about 700 people representing High Level now. So it's been a fun journey. That's awesome. From that moment.
My question is, you could have gone all different ways. That the software is awesome. I love all the things that are included in it. And that just helps me with automations and everything that I need and any business that needs to run on the internet. But where was the journey when it went from a software as it is, and then providing it for all agencies to white label? How did that come about?
Yeah, so we've, as a company, have never been great at predicting the future. We've always just met our customer where they're at and just try to plug gaps and try to provide technology solutions with whatever problems that you deal with. We just kept listening to our customers and we're always on the quest of figuring out who's winning and who's not using our software. And we would always go to the customers that is doing incredibly well and just ask them like, what are you doing different? Like, just tell me, give me some feedback. Like, what can we do to improve and stuff? And what we found was what they were basically doing is like, okay, we offer professional services, but what we're doing is adding more revenue by offering the software, you see. And what we found is offering a line item for the software, it allowed us to have two line items. And if somebody canceled our professional services, because it can become cyclical, they're always attached to the hip to us because there's a line item for the software. And because we have 100% of all their data coming into the software, they can't ever leave us because we hold the most important piece of their business. And we were just like, so you're telling me if we just made that part easier, more automated, we would be able to solve churn even more than we already are? Yes. And so that's how we rolled out what we call SaaS mode, and which now enables every agency owner to basically become a software provider. And we've automated that process from A to Z.
Yes, it's definitely been a game changer for me. It's to separate yourself from software. And I've said this story a few times. I would have to tell my clients, you need to buy all of these tools and then we can get started. And just taking away that feeling of, okay, you have to pay my consulting rate plus all of the tools. And then if they felt like they needed to cancel me, they'd still be paying for those other tools.
That was the craziest thing, right? Like, it was weird because you did all that work to set everything up and you spent hours and hours and hours and fixed their whole operations and built solutions for them. And they just kind of shrug it off saying, yeah, thank you, but kick you to the curb. And you're just like, what? I did all that. And you're keeping my system in place and I can't do anything about it. Like, that is the worst feeling ever. And I remember being in your shoes in that. And I was like, that's one of those areas. Like, we need to solve that. So let's give those tools back to the solutions provider. Let them own that tech stack and let them own that relationship. Because it wasn't so much that the small business who you were doing the consulting work for actually didn't like you. There's just the share of wallet. They only have so much money that they can expend every month. And in many cases, you, from a human capital perspective, is probably their largest expense. Mm-hmm. And if there's a world where they can keep working with you, they would. It's just they need to keep something for all the hard work that they did. And usually the software is the piece that can stick around longer than paying the huge bill for you. And so that's where we basically said, well, if you bring in your version of high level, you can become that stickiness factor, which allows them to come back to you because you're still stuck at the hip there.
In your experience, what do you think, as someone who maybe is just seeing this and they say, okay, I'm going to get started. I want to create my own software company. What do you see as some of the struggles that people are having when they first get started, and how can we help them overcome that?
I'd say the biggest thing is trying to feel like you have to know everything to the nth degree. I think what's most important is just getting a basic understanding of what the features do and why the value proposition is there. And then my recommendation is just going out to market and start talking to people, not from the standpoint of walking in saying, hey guys, boom, you know, drop in your toolbox saying, hey, I have a bunch of tools. What can I fix for you? It's, hey, what holes do you have in your business? How can I improve it? How can I make your life easier? And then just saying that I do have this really cool set of tools that I can help solve that problem. And I feel like a lot of agency owners come in the other way, where they feel like they need to learn everything. They need to look under the hood and see how it's built. And they feel like they're going to be challenged by that from their customers. Mm-hmm. When in reality, all the customer is saying is, I have a problem and somebody take the time to solve it for me because I don't have enough time in my day.
I love that, because I had that problem when I first got started. I'm like, well, I could do all these things. And I felt like I was actually throwing up on my customers, like, well, you could do this and this and this and this and this, instead of like, okay, hold on, just, slow down.
Yeah, I just needed to send one email. That's all that I'm asking. I know.
Exactly. Can we just text message, or, you know, use the text message callback? And oh my gosh. Anyways.
Yeah. And what I find is the most successful is coming in with a basic solution for your customer and let that simmer a little bit, right? Once it's baked in, they will naturally come back to you saying, wow, what you set up for me is working incredibly well. By chance, do you also do these other things? And what we want to basically say is, as a matter of fact, we can. And give you the ability to actually charge for those additional ask, right? It's like, oh, do you also do social media? As a matter of fact, we do. We had this cool tool. So we're going to charge you additional $30 or $50 or $100 more a month. And we'll hook it up into this tool. And that tool will post out your social media, or you want to send out more newsletters, or you need a new website or whatever. Like, the answer is now yes, but you've created a great baseline. And there's, you know, the version of the hub and spoke. Once you become the hub, you can create as many spokes as you want. And now the whole wheel becomes what your partnership with that company is like.
I love that. And that, again, eliminates the whole scope creep, because you can feel confident in saying, okay, we provide this for this amount, but if you'd like this other tools that we have, we can charge you additional for that.
And now it's no longer an expense, right? Because you've already shown that them doing a small investment up front brought them huge value. Now it's, are you ready to make your next investment for more? And so now they're not, when they're looking at their expenses, it's no longer a part of that. No, this is a part of my core business. I can't turn that off, because if I do, it messes everything else up.
I think you kind of already touched on this, but I wanted to ask this as well. High Level has a huge thriving community of users. How has the community contributed to the platform's growth, and what can marketers gain from being part of it?
We wouldn't be here where we are without the community. The community is what has brought us here to this day. We listen to our community at every single angle. And like I said, we don't like predicting the future. We like being where our customers are at. So if they see a new trend or something like that, we ask, put it up on the ideas board, continue to show us, document it, tell us what you're seeing and why it's important. And either people will vote it up, or there's a lot of people messaging in the group saying, this is what we need to do. That's exactly what we do next. That's one of our big differentiative factors compared to other software companies, where they're trying to build the next best thing or the next big thing. And then they're going to will their way to get their whole customer base into it. And a lot of times that is a really tough game. And for us, we're just like, look, we have a house full of agency owners who are all doing a lot of the same things. They will tell us what they want. And if we just stick with them and we're in the trenches, we roll up our sleeves, we'll all be successful together. And that's been our philosophy. And that's how we've grown and why the community is so valuable to us.
I love that we can suggest things, and things really seem to be moving along quickly too, once someone suggests things. And it just seems like you guys really take account to that, as well as the upcoming summit that's coming, which I'll be there as well too. So if you guys aren't, you should come.
Yeah, that's going to be a great event. That's October 23rd to 26th. I'll be sold out by tonight or tomorrow morning. So it's selling out pretty quickly. And, you know, we're going to be talking about not only from a product perspective of all the new features and hits, we have a ton of cool drops that we're excited about. But on top of that, you know, we're going to have some of the best speakers in the agency space. And the cool thing about it is the majority of them use High Level, understand High Level, they're agency owners themselves, or they're getting into the platform and really trying to develop it for their business. That's really great about our speakers. The networking, the way that we set up the event is really trying to take the best of every event that's out there and trying to bring all of that in a very intimate experience. And then, of course, we have the great parties and events and things like that that we have planned. And we know that it's a huge investment for our customers. And so it's a really a celebration for us to them. We want everyone who attends to have a very inspiring and incredible, memorable experience that they're going to hold on to. And like I said, we wouldn't be here without them. So it's something special that we like to put on.
I'm so excited. You have some really great speakers. I know it's going to be super inspiring and a lot of networking and connecting with other members as well. That's why I just love that you guys take account on the users and feedback and things so quickly. What emerging trends or technologies do you believe agencies should be paying attention to in order to stay ahead in the industry?
It's twofold. From one perspective, of course, AI is the big buzzword, and trying to leverage that anywhere that's possible. And definitely we had that baked in. We're trying to bake it in every aspect of the app, whether it's on the conversations, appointment building through AI, building websites, just anywhere that you can look at where we're leveraging AI. But I think the other trend that I'm starting to see is more agencies getting out of the traditional professional services of, hey, I'm running Facebook ads, I'm running Google ads and stuff. And really they're focusing on automating it from a staff augment perspective. Hypothetically, if I can do this automation for you, can I give you back your time or give your team back their time? And a lot of it really does represent from a sales and marketing perspective, right? Hey, if I can take your phone calls that come in and do missed call text back, how much time am I actually saving? Because now you don't have to have someone taking the calls all day long, mostly from a 24-hour perspective. And then backing that in from AI, now they're missed call text back. Can we create a bot that does the communication back and forth to ultimately book the appointment? If I can create appointment reminders that creates people to show up, how much time can I save your team from having to pick up the phone and call to confirm appointments, right? Like, so small things like that. And those were really small examples, but people have taken it at extreme measures and have saved businesses thousands, if not millions of dollars. And they're creating thriving enterprises based on that model there.
I know there's so many cool things. Even Sean did with you when he first got started, just the follow-up, right? I always tell people, fortunes in the follow-up, and having that call connect feature as well as one of my favorites to make sure that my clients are picking up their phone with the leads that are trying to get a hold of them.
Yeah, it's always funny that there's the sexiness factor of all the cool new features and things like that. But the simplest of the simple features is actually what sells and drives value immediately. And so you can't ever let off that gas pedal. Just make sure that the foundation is always there before you add on to it.
For those who are new to high level and starting a SaaS agency, how would they be able to scale their business using Go High Level?
Yeah, I think it's actually a lot easier than you would perceptually think it is. In many cases, you should be able to walk out your front door. The model that I like to tell people is start off your phone. And I'm sure that somebody in your contacts either owns a business or knows someone that owns a business. And just ask, is there a problem that you're dealing with that I potentially could help with? And I guarantee you a lot of them is either on the operational where you can build automations for them, or it's on the sales side of things, which blends into sales and marketing. Can you hook up a lot of these technology in place? Then once you burn through that and pick up a couple of customers, then just two different aspects. You can go to any local business and just walk in and ask, can I talk to the owner? And just ask, I want to learn about your business. What are the biggest challenges that you deal with? And I bet you they will be more than happy to word vomit all over you of all the challenges that they deal with on a day-to-day basis. But then also going to Chamber of Commerce meetings. I was actually talking to someone who came into the office the other day, and we were talking about going to looking on meetup.com. And there's actually small business groups that pop up on there. Just showing up and being a part of these, not only can you help the people that attend these meetup groups, but they also know other people in that as well. So just constantly be attending those. It will align you to the right people who can help you close your first couple of deals. And to be honest, you can continue compounding that effect and growing your business incredibly fast. You don't have to then pivot to doing something else new. I'm a believer on whatever you find working, just keep putting more gasoline into it. And the second that you take your eye off the ball and move somewhere else is where you're basically starting over again. So Right. Just keep going. Just keep doing what you're doing over and over and over again.
I love that, because a lot of the times I see people focusing on the wrong things, spending 6 months like trying to set up their website to start their software business. And I'm like, I gave you the template. You actually don't even need it, even though I gave you the template for it.
Yeah.
Don't even focus there. Go and talk to people, find out what their problems are.
You can have the best website in the world, but no one's going to know about it because you're not talking about it yourself. Right? So until you start talking about it, then that's the only time that it's going to care about it, or anyone will care about it. And if you go out and talk about more of what you're able to deliver and provide, there's going to be no mention of what's your website so I can review it. It's tell me more. Can I meet with you? Can you show me what you're doing and how it can help? You can keep the conversation there and you can be incredibly successful. I mean, there's some large SaaSpreneurs that's out there and their website basically says coming soon. And they're like, yeah, we just don't have time.
I kind of always talk about the contractor's wife. I'm always busy helping other people with their site first before I work on my own.
Yeah. The cobbler's children never right. have good shoes, right? So right. Yeah, it's 100% that's what it is. But if you keep that mentality, you'll do incredibly well instead of just focusing on what you think that that's important. Your business card, the best business card in the world. But if you're not handing out to people, it's not going to do you any good. And I wouldn't even waste time with that. Everyone has a cell phone. If I can get your number, we can text back and forth and figure it out from there, right? That's ultimately what the business card is intended to. So I think there's always a way to shotgun or shortcut the way to getting the outcome that you want.
And if you're finding out that they are looking for something that you don't really know about yet, it's totally okay to just be like, hold on, let me find out, just like Sean did with you, and then call them back a week later, or hopefully faster than that, but so that they don't forget you, like you forgot about them for a minute, but to be like, hold on 1 minute, let me go figure it out, and I'll call you back.
I'll call you right back. Yeah. The big thing is the MIT lead study. It's something that anyone can Google. And what they basically say is like, when a lead comes in, you have less than 5 minutes, if not longer, to get a hold of them, just to make that first connection. And then if you miss that, it takes anywhere from 7 to 15 interactions by all channels just to get back to that same moment where you can have that initial level of conversation. And then from there, it's another 3 to 5 conversations before you can get to your next point, whether it's a sale, an appointment, or whatever. So in the grand scheme of things, it's actually a lot of touches and a lot of communication points that you can automate. But if you're trying to do it manually, it's definitely doable, but that persistence level is generally not there, because the business owner, the dentist is always going to be the dentist. The mechanic's always going to be the mechanic. They're not going to be the one who's on the phone just trying to constantly hammer away at people until they respond.
So thinking back, one more piece of advice that you can give, thinking back of how you started your agency prior to High Level, What do you wish that you had back then that everyone has now with High Level that you wish you had when you were starting to grow your agency?
From a technology perspective, setting up the communication tool and making it the source of truth of all activity that comes in, so much so that the business looks at it as a utility bill and then selling it as a secondary line item. If I had set that up with my agency, it would have decreased churn at such a significant level that I wouldn't feel like I'm always on the hamster wheel or trying to get our team to constantly try to get our next customer. It's like, we have some customers who are still paying us for license of the software. They turned off their services temporarily. Let's get them back on the phone and figure out when can we get them back ramped up again, because it is easier to reactivate a customer versus starting when they're at $0 again. Because when they're at $0 and they say they're going to come back to you, what they're really saying is, I saved money for a couple of months. We're at $0. And sure, I worked with you for a couple of months, but let me also play the field again. But if there's some connection still there, the likelihood of them just ramping back up is a lot higher. And so I would have built more systems from that perspective, and ultimately it would have reduced churn where it wasn't a big deal anymore.
I think one of the biggest problems when I first got started too is the offer. What would you share a little bit more about pricing and how to make a really good offer that keeps the churn and so that they don't go away?
It really depends on the industry that you're in, of course, and how much share of wallet that you're able to attack against. But if you're on the high end, if you're talking to the largest attorneys in your area, their discretionary funds for sales and marketing is a lot higher. I actually know an agency where they charge anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000 a month. But what they do is they go after the attorneys who have the crazy TV commercials and billboards all around town. And they're basically saying, look, you're getting a ton of leads, but you don't know how to process them. Why don't you cut off the one that you feel like isn't working as much? Mm-hmm. And let me take what you have remaining. So commercials, let it dump into our system and we're going to outflow to getting the outcome that you want through automations, through getting the appointments on the books and stuff like that. And they're charging significant amount of money on that front, but they're going after a huge value. On the low end and just getting your foot in the door, I think starting out at somewhere where it's anywhere from $100 to $300 is actually a safe number and a really good sweet spot for a lot of businesses where you feel you can come in with some basic automation tools. The missed call text back that you mentioned, giving them a phone number, allowing them to do a text message blast to their customers, allowing them to do invoicing and proposals, building a basic website, putting a chat widget on their existing website, setting up a calendar. I think those core foundational operational things, mostly for a business that's never really invested money in sales and marketing, or maybe they have and they've been burned, doing those basic things for a small business, that's a great number, right? Anywhere from $100 to $300 a month.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm asking my clients, what are the tools that you currently use? How much are you spending there? How many leads do you need? And what is the value of that lead as well too? So yeah. I've worked in the real estate industry. And so depending also where you're buying and selling houses, what the commission rate is, what the value of the homes that you're averagely selling. Also speaking with a couple other med spas and different local businesses that have different types of clientele. So what do you think of agency owners should definitely be asking their clients to determine? Yeah.
I love the questions that you represent, like what's your cost per lead and things like that. And I wouldn't go too deep in trying to help understand that. I typically ask those questions more as a heat check to see how sophisticated they are in their business.
Some of them don't even know.
What's a lead? Yeah. What? Like, I don't get it. And you have to teach them. But I think the less that they are in tune with their marketing, to me, has always been an indicator that you need to remove the friction point. So you probably need to be on the lower end of charging that customer for the base software, of course. Now, if their sophistication level is higher, or you find out that they have amazing lead sources and things like that, just through probing and asking different questions, how do you currently get customers today? I used to always follow that up with saying, great, that's awesome that you're getting all these customers, but how do you really get customers on a day-to-day basis? Because usually people want to start talking about the glamorous customers that they have. Oh, I get this. I have this one customer who found me and they flew in from cross country to come in and meet with me. That's how big of a net that I cast. And it's like, yeah, but okay. So you get one of those a year or one of those a month or whatever. But on a day-to-day basis, what do you do to get, you know, leads? How do you run your business? Once you really break down those barriers and ask those questions, you'll really understand what the solution is and how much they value that time and that opportunity And so by you bringing a solution to the table, you should be able to price accordingly based on that, or get a feel on, well, if I charge too much, they're going to say no, but if I charge too less, they're going to pass this on to somebody else because it's not that important to them. So that's how I typically figure out that right sweet spot there.
What other advice do you have for businesses who want to start their agency was starting to scale? Do they maybe need to bring on a team? Or do you think that's is something that's really needed? Because a lot of the systems here are really plug and play once you get the client.
It really depends on the type of business that you're growing as a SaaSpreneur. You have the opportunity to go out and bring on more small businesses, just doing the simple stuff that you started with, right? What you did to get your first five customers, there's a saying that what you did to start may not mean what you need to do to get your next set of customers. And for me, I challenge that. I believe that what you did to get your first couple of customers, you just need to figure out how to create the flywheel to keep doing that over and over and over again. And you can compound it very quickly. And that's the fun thing about software and recurring subscriptions. And I think once you get a certain amount of customers, you run into this weird fork in the road because your customers are going to find so much value in what you're delivering to them. They're going to ask you for more. Now, the question is, do you want to deliver more or say, no, this is all that I offer? And you just hold the line there. Well, if you're going to hold the line there, you need to keep that flywheel going and bring on more customers, which means that you don't need to bring on more team members because you have a very solid system. If you say, yes, I want to take on more responsibility and I'm going to charge more for it, at that point, you need to think about what it means to scale up your team. And that could mean many different ways. I would try to figure out what is the best way for you to get back into what got you started, which is selling. And that can mean augment it with in-house team members or with an outside third-party company. And there's a lot in our ecosystem that's spinning up and have done incredible work where they have a whole tech team as a third-party company and can provide that backstops for you. But like I said, you come into this weird crossroads, and I would wait till you get to that crossroads before you make this decision. And because really, you need to meet your customers where they're at. If they're asking you for these things, then you should come up with it. But if they're not asking you for it and they're happy, just go back to selling. Just go get more customers, and you don't need to hire more staff there.
I like that. I saw this interview about, they call it like having a productized service. So just being real focused and like that book says, the one thing, you just get good at that one thing and you'll be known for that.
I believe it comes a lot with the customer base that you deal with, right? If you deal with, you mentioned the carpenter earlier, right? Well, they're going to be the best being the carpenter. They only need a couple of basic necessities from their software stack. Not only are they willing to spend, but really grow their business. And it takes a while for them to stabilize once you put that juice in their business, right? There's a world where they don't need more. You just level them up at such an incredible level that they're fine. And so in that niche, right, you don't have to continue selling them more services, nor are they asking you for it. And so from that perspective, you're the person that just provides simplicity, provides that ease for the carpenters. And now you just go on and find more carpenters to provide that value to, and you'll be incredibly successful.
How do you keep focused? I think with a lot of entrepreneurs, sometimes they get bored. I'm hearing that part where it's like, oh, this is working. But then they're like, oh, I'm going to try something new. How do you just pull yourself back in?
That is a tough thing. As entrepreneurs, in many cases, we have ADD or it feels like it's never enough. And I believe that we do build it up in our mind that what you did to get here is not how you're going to get to the next phase. And that's where I continue challenging. I think you've mastered what you've done. And you feel like because you've mastered it, it's time to let go and do something else now. And in reality, from a business perspective, you have to take it back to the core. The reason that you became an entrepreneur, the reason that you became a business owner is to buy your time back and be in control of your life. So the fact that you mastered it, you should continue mastering it because now you basically provided more ample time for yourself to doing the things for the reason that you became a business owner. So go out and enjoy life at that point. Not go try something new and realize that you got to start over. That 10,000 hours starts over again. And the question is, but why? Why don't you just keep doing what you're doing, knowing that you don't have to put as much exertion in keeping it going?
I want to talk more about just really making this a utility, because that is also going to make it so that you can go and live your life. As an agency owner, a lot of us get so in, there's a lot of the done with you, done for you, for the clients, and you can only do so much. But now having a system where you can have a reoccurring revenue, you don't need to have thousands of customers. You only need maybe not even 100, even less than that. It depends on what your goal is, right?
I see a lot of agency owners who think they're doing incredibly well when they hold a balance of 5 customers or 10 customers, right? There's a cap there and they're always online. They're pulling their hair out because there's always something on fire. And I always call it, they're just on the merry-go-round. you get five customers, right? You're providing services for all of them. And then at the end of the month, you lose two. Well, now you're racing to get two more customers. Finally, you're back on the merry-go-round with five customers. And then three of them are yelling at you. Two of them are happy. And then one of them you forget about. So now you lose one. So now you're trying to sell. But at the same time, you got to go back to save the other three because they're unhappy. And you just can't jump that hurdle because you're doing the same thing over and over again. And it's either you need to come up with a new business model to get out of that, or you need to figure out my next set of customers, I need to charge even more. But even then, the more that you charge, the more responsibility that comes in from value that you're driving. And so it's hard to pivot out of it. And I think once you get into the software world and productize and simplify what you're delivering, it just makes life easier for you. And coming back to, like, don't forget the reason that you got into the game of being an entrepreneur. It's to buy back your time, to have control. I don't necessarily know if that you can walk away saying that you don't have a boss anymore. Your customers are your boss, but at least it gives you more control of the decisions that you want to make on a day-to-day basis. But once you remove that, you're beholden to the day-to-day fires every single day.
It's definitely the way you position yourself and have now boundaries. And I'm actually looking forward, super excited about the summit to mention this, even though if you're probably watched this after the summit's already over, but I'm just really excited just personally as an agency owner to develop and grow with the amount of speakers that are going to speak about things that would help me grow my business as well too.
Yeah, a lot of the speakers there have grown their businesses. They pivoted out of being an agency into being a SaaSpreneur, or their agencies who have figured out how to jump that hurdle, right? Where they got off the merry-go-round and they figured out, like, here's how to spin out of it. And a lot of it does come back to the software. Creating those productized offerings. And like you said, creating those boundaries along the way. The more productized you are, this is where a customer starts and this is where they end. There's no scope group, right? There's no more that can pop up.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Looking ahead, what do you think is next for High Level? Any exciting news and developments before I let you go?
The event is really going to be the showcase of all our new product and features. And really, we're going to be talking about the roadmap of where we go in 2024 and what's upcoming. At the end of the day, like I said, we're trying not to predict the future. We're just meeting our customers where they're at. And I think a lot of our roadmap is closing that gap. More agencies that are talking, we're seeing a lot of agencies do these things. We're just going to build those features and enhance our product to align into that. Nothing more and nothing less.
Thank you so much for your time. And we'll see you in Dallas.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Thanks, guys. I'm so excited for the information he just shared because it's just some of the things I have already known, but hopefully that was eye-opening for you as a new SaaSpreneur. And a lot of these things I did not know in the development too. So I'm really excited about this interview and I hope you enjoyed this interview as well. Make sure to share it to your audience as well. Much love and aloha. Bye.